always forget. I'm gonna wait so we can all pray together. Lord, I pray that you would have your way among us and that you'd continue to grow us, mature us, help us see better and better, help us hear better and better. I pray for discerning hearts. And I pray that we would be filled with courage and boldness, discipline. Yeah, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in us. And yeah, I pray that we would be made ready. In your name, amen. Interesting. What I'm going to speak on has to do with practically what I'm going to share right now, too, because I feel like I'm supposed to, more and more in my calling and my role as whatever my instrument is, the instrument of pastoring, of shepherding, I want to be more and more, I feel compelled by the Lord to be more and more upfront and more bold and... And I just want us to pray through, like, for instance, I don't know if you notice, sometimes when a tongue is given, there is so much clarity in every single thing that is shared. Like, it just all fits together and just boom, da-doom, 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 da-doom. And wow, it's so clear at what God was saying through that tongue. At other times, it's like, how do these all fit together? I don't know how these all fit together. And so whether it's for, like, Lord, may you increase our interpretation, maybe they do all fit together and we just don't see how they all fit together. And because sometimes I can see the line between them all and I can explain, I think this is what God is saying to us. And so if that's the case, then so be it. If it's the case of, Lord, may all of our own stuff just continue to fall away, you know, just May we hear your voice in the Holy of Holies more and more clearly. May it be that. And then I think a prayer that I've heard some, I heard it from Sean Bowles. He started praying at one point in his prophetic gifting. He said, Lord, would you please, just for even a season, stop giving me pictures and can you please speak plainly to me, like, just, can you, you know, rather than, you know, Lord, I see a bird in the sky, I don't know what it means, though, like, just, and he asked for the Lord to bring just clear, straightforward talk for a while, and I know that the Lord loves to speak in parables, Old and New Testament, he does that, and there's very few people, actually, in Scripture that he just talks plainly with. It makes us seek him out. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. And so I understand his ways in that. But one of my prayers is that we become more and more clear, that we hear more and more clearly. So even if it's not like just the straightforward language of, okay, do this, or this is what I'm saying right now, even if it's still in parable language and metaphor language, which is obviously very near and dear to God's heart, that we would hear more and more clearly those pictures, see them very clearly, know what is from the Lord, know what is from not. because I don't know about what you were discerning there, it was a little disjointed. And this isn't any, like, please don't let anything come in and say, oh, what are you saying about me? No, no, us. Me too. I didn't get anything, which is unusual. Usually I see something, and usually I hear something, and I just wasn't getting anything. And so it's like, Lord, help us become more and more focused. So that's one of my challenges. We want to become more and more skilled with our instruments. I love that dream. I don't know if in the dream that you shared, Mel, that whether you knew why some people were not playing and others. I know that some reasons, there are many reasons. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we're afraid of making mistakes. Sometimes we maybe think it won't sound very nice. Sometimes it might be, well, I'm not the main instrument, so therefore I don't really have a place. Sometimes, like, who knows? But may we become more and more skilled in the instruments that God has given us. May we become more and more ready to use them, ready to use the gifts that God has given us, ready to walk out the things that God has called us to walk out. May we practice. Practice our instruments. Practice your gifts. Keep on practicing. Walk it out. It's so neat because sometimes when I have some thoughts during the week that, oh, this might be what we're talking on Sunday, sometimes it's yeah, I'm sure. But then when Sunday comes, the Lord's like, nope, that's for another time. I've got something else. And okay, this time, this week, it was like, I'm not sure if this is for Sunday or not. And yet, as the morning progressed, I just saw this coming up. And so I'm going to walk it out. I'm taken back to what Forrest shared about faithfulness. You know, as we are faithful, he'll give us more, kind of was a little bit of what was shared there. And I so believe in that principle. I see that principle throughout Scripture. As we're faithful with what he's given us, he will give us more. As we walk out what he has given us to walk out, he will take us further. He will take us deeper or higher or whatever the metaphor is you want. He will refine us. He will entrust us with more. And I was trying to find, I finally found it when I went back to the computer and looked for a verse, because it was coming to my head, verses, and it's in Matthew chapter 21. And it's the parable of the two sons. Matthew 21, verse 28-32. And Jesus says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. And he went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Now he's talking, in this case, specifically to the Pharisees, and how they word their devotion to God, and yet they don't follow through with it. They don't walk it out. And the prostitutes and tax collectors and all those people that everyone else looked down upon, they lived a life of disobedience, and yet when they heard, they changed their mind. When they heard the gospel, they changed their mind and said, yes, Lord. And so that's the immediate context. But I know that the Lord has used this passage in my life many times before, where it's this place of, yes, God, I'll do what you say. See, I'm already saved, but I'm working out my salvation, right? And I say, yes, Lord, but then I don't follow through with it. I don't follow through with it. And other people, and it's funny, I sometimes take that position of the older son in the parable of the prodigal son, which I think represents the Jews, the Pharisees and the Jews of that time. I take the position of sometimes this son is, yes, Lord, amen, and then, but sometimes then don't follow through with it, don't walk it out like I'm supposed to, and very faithful in my words sometimes, very, like not this wild, crazy, go off and blow everything, you know, out there and then come back to the Lord. It's, I'm more the other, and the Lord is saying to me often, like, Kevin, just walk out what I've called you to walk out. Don't just speak it with your words, but walk it out. Live it out. And I know that he's used this in my life because sometimes we as believers, we who have grown up in the church from very young, we know all the, well, we not all the theology, but a lot of the theology, and we know what the right answers are. We've been to Sunday school long enough where we know Jesus is the right answer to every question ever asked, right, in Sunday school. And it's this place of we know what to say, but will we do it? Will we walk it out? Will we then carry it forward? And there's so much that comes to my mind then about not just loving him in word, but in action. Not just obeying him in word, but obeying him in action. Not just having the right answers for a test that's given you so that you can graduate, but having the right answer of a righteous life walked out. And continually saying yes to him, saying yes to him at the beginning, saying yes to him throughout. Asking for the instrument, but then playing it. I don't know if anyone has ever had that before. And I'm sure some families, a child asks for an instrument, oh yeah, and then it just sits there. It's like, no, play it. Learn it. But it's hard. Yes, it is. Play it. Learn it. Get skilled at it. I sometimes feel a little bit convicted even about my guitar. This is not about music right now. Please follow the metaphor. I'm not literally talking about music here. But sometimes I do feel a little bit convicted because I know that God has given me musical ability, but I have basically relied on my natural ability and not really practiced like I should. It's like, oh, Lord, how much more could I honor you with the skills that you've given me, if I would put time into it, rather than time into so many other useless things. But that's an aside for Kevin there, you know. And if it hits you too, that's great. But I'm thinking more of the things that the Lord has shown us, the things the Lord has talked to us about, and we receive it with joy. Immediately, we receive it with excitement. But then time passes and we don't walk it out. We know what we should do, but we don't walk it out. One of the saddest people in all of Scripture, I think, is King Saul in the Old Testament, first king of Israel. Throughout his life, if there are many ways you could characterize his life, but one of the characteristics that you see in his life after he became king is this characteristic of speaking one thing but doing another and not following through, just not following through. And it breaks my heart. He started off so humble. He didn't want the kingship, and even on the day when he was supposed to be inaugurated, he's hiding in the baggage area. He doesn't want to be found. And I actually wonder, this is just a little aside, I wonder if it was actually a false humility, because there is a place where, you know what, I am called to be king. I'm not supposed to be hiding in the baggage. You don't get to choose. When God calls you to be king, you don't get to choose and say no, God. Never say no, God. By the way, it's just write that down, you know. Never say no, God. I wonder if it was a false humility that then, we know false humility is actually pride, the flip side of the same coin of pride. But later on then in his life, he began to think too highly of himself. And I see in his life this characteristic, what we just read in the parable of, yes, I'll go, but then he doesn't go. Yes, I'll do it, but then he doesn't do it. Turn to 1 Samuel. I'll just show you a little bit of this. Start in 1 Samuel. Let's see here. Chapter 13. In the middle of verse 7 there, Saul remained at Gilgal, and the troops were with him, quaking in fear. He waited 7 days. This is the time where he was called to wait for Samuel. And I imagine, even though it doesn't say it explicitly, it says it implicitly, where it implies that Saul agreed to wait for Samuel. I also think Saul would realize at this point that, he's not a Levite. That's very apparent. He's a Benjamite. And he is not authorized to offer sacrifices to God. That is not his place. And yet, it's incredible what you can start thinking when you're king. He's called to a place of authority, and he thinks he can do anything then. This is my kingdom, by the way. And that's a little aside. That's for another sermon, but the dangers of pride. Okay? He starts thinking he can do anything he wants. Anyway, Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops were with him, quaking with fear. The reason they were quaking with fear is because the Philistines were right there, ready to attack. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering just as he finished. Isn't this the truth? Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw the men were scattering and you did not come at the set time and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." And then Samuel goes on to say, "You've acted foolishly." Some things about this. First of all, sometimes we have to wait a little longer than we thought we would have to wait. And you just have to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I have in my margins of my Bible with this story, he forgot about Gideon. He forgot that God can save through few. He doesn't need a big army. God doesn't need a huge army to save. He can save through a few. And obedience, obedience, obedience is what's necessary. It's not your place, Saul. Just wait. And even if it comes down to like just you and God, that's enough. God has wiped out, you know, Pharaoh's army in Egypt and all these things in Israel's history. God sends the flood, you know, and destroys all the wickedness. Wait on the Lord. And yet he felt compelled. He felt compelled. And so he did what he shouldn't do. And again, there's an implied, "I will wait for you, Samuel. I will wait for you. I'll wait for you." And yet he didn't wait. The reason he didn't wait is he started to look around him and notice his circumstances. He saw the Philistines and he saw his men. He saw the Philistines starting to press the attack. He saw his men starting to scatter. And then he decided and he felt compelled. And all of a sudden those words became nothing. See, here's the thing. When we say to the Lord, "I'm going to whatever it is," the Lord will test us in that. "I will wait for you, Lord." "Oh, really? Okay, great. Awesome. Let's see how true that is. Let's see how much you'll wait." And it's testing for our sake, and it's testing for his glory. And Saul did his own thing. "I'll go into the field," but then he doesn't go. From Matthew, right? 1 Samuel 14, verse 24. Oh, This is a foolish one. There's a bunch of lessons to learn from this passage, but I'll start with verse 24. Now the men of Israel were in distress that day because Saul had bound the people under an oath, saying, "Cursed be any man who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself on my enemies." So none of the troops tasted food. First of all, foolish. Absolutely foolishness. Stay away from foolish oaths and foolish promises and things that we think sound spiritual. Even like when he offered the sacrifice, he tried to make it sound so spiritual. Well, the enemy was coming and I hadn't sought the Lord yet. Oh, that sounds so spiritual. And yet it's just fear and pride. That's what it's all about, okay? So that spiritual talk can't cover up fear and pride. And in this case, just foolishness. I'm not sure what he was thinking here. But just a foolish oath he bound his people by. Then verse 39. That's too far in the... I don't have the exact verses written. But it turns out that then Jonathan, his son, he tastes some honey, right? Because this whole battle, if you read a little bit beforehand, this whole battle becomes about because Jonathan and his armor bearer, they go up to a Philistine garrison or where some Philistines are. They wait on the Lord. They say, if the Philistines say, come up here, we'll, you know, then we'll go up there. And that's a sign that God has given them to us. If they don't say, come up here, if they say, actually, they're going to come down to us, that means that God hasn't given them to us. And so we'll wait on the Lord. Well, the Philistines say, come on up here. Jonathan and his armor bearer say, that's a sign of the Lord. And they kill a bunch of men in a short period of time in a small area. And the Philistines get into confusion and they start fleeing. Saul and the rest of the army notice this and they go on the attack. But again, in all of this, Saul makes this oath. Jonathan doesn't know he has bound the troops by this oath. And so Jonathan eats some honey. And it revives him. It gives him strength. It gives him strength. The rest of the army, they're starving, basically. And later on in the day, they start killing sheep in an unceremonial way, and they start eating the meat with the blood still in it, which is against the Mosaic law. And there's just a whole bunch of chaos there. In verse 37, let's start there then. Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into Israel's hands? But God did not answer him that day. Saul therefore said, come here, all of you who are leaders of the army, and let us find out what sin has been committed today. As surely as the Lord who rescues Israel lives, even if it lies with my son Jonathan, he must die. But no one, not one of his men, said a word. Again, more foolish oaths, more foolish talk. Even if it lies with my son, he must die, he says. Verse 44, they find out that it was Jonathan in the meantime through casting lots. And Saul said, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you do not die, Jonathan. But the men said to Saul, should Jonathan die, he who has brought about the great deliverance in Israel? Never. As surely as the Lord lives, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, for he did this today with God's help. So the men rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death. My point with this passage is this. I'm not saying that Saul should have killed Jonathan. That's not what I'm saying. But again, we see Saul making an oath, saying something and not carrying through with it. And in this case, the lesson to be learned is not to be so quick with our words. Let's think about what comes out of our mouths, because God takes it very seriously. There's points in Israel's history where an oath is made way back when they enter the promised land. They make a treaty with Gilboa. I think it's Gilboa, the country of Gilboa. And they're the ones that tricked them, right? And they made an oath with them. They are held to that. They are held to that oath at this point, actually in David's reign, in King David's reign, because Saul did some things to that country and they were held accountable for it. All that to say, God takes our words very seriously. Maybe we say things flippantly. Things come out our mouth here, there. Oh yeah, I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll go here. I'll go there. I'll give this. I'll give that. But when we don't carry through with it, when we don't follow through with it, God takes it very seriously. Saul was very flippant with his words. Maybe I'm projecting onto Saul because I'm an emotional guy, but maybe he just let the emotion of the moment carry him away. And I know I've sometimes done that in my life. The emotion of the moment, and you just start saying things that later on, why did I say that? Why did I promise that? Well, that was foolish. That was silly. I can't do that. I didn't even check my calendar. I don't know if I can be there. What's going on? And maybe he thought it would sound cool. Oh, yeah. Anyone who eats, the curse be on them. Like, let's go after the enemy. What? Why? That's not from God. What do you mean it's not from God? I'm the king. That's not from God. Or if the fault is found to be me or Jonathan, we'll die. Why are you saying something so stupid? So foolish. Guard your mouth. Guard your mouth, Saul. But again, this idea of, I'm going to do this, and then he doesn't do it. 1 Samuel chapter 15 then. Samuel said to Saul, I'm the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites totally. Destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle, sheep, camels, donkeys. That's a tough one to understand, but we won't get into that today. If you have questions about that, we can talk about that. But it's to eradicate the evil that was in the land. And then down to verse 8, so Saul, verse 7, then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur and to the east of Egypt. And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all the people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and his army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. They were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. No problem there. And then Samuel comes and meets them and sees all the sheep and Agag still alive. And what are you doing? You didn't obey. You know, verse 16. Stop, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until they have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the sheep and the cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But then Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than the sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. If we could understand that. Rebellion is like witchcraft to God. Rebellion is the same as witchcraft. Rebellion is as offensive to God as if a witch came in here right now, set up a pentagram with candles, and started calling curses down and doing like chants and all of that. That's how God looks at rebellion. That's powerful stuff. And then arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Saul, at this point, shows a little bit of remorse, but we see a little bit of his heart, actually. We see his heart in verse 30, what's deep down. Saul replied, I have sinned. Oh, that's good, Saul. Well done. Like, repent right now. Call for mercy. But then the next sentence, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. His eyes were on the people. His eyes were on what others would think. Again, I'll destroy them, and then he doesn't destroy them. chapter 19, verse 6, we see Saul promising, this is during the time when he's trying to kill David, but then he actually promises, Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death. We know the story there where he continued to press David and to try and take his life, and only the Lord saved David's life. So again, a promise and a broken promise. And then finally, one last example at the very end of his life. 1 Samuel 28. I look at all of these, and I look at God giving Saul chance and over and over and over and over again. Opportunity over and over and over and over again. So at the end of his life, Saul goes to the witch of Endor and wants to talk to Samuel, and he talks to Samuel. I don't know how that all works, necromancy and talking to the dead, but I don't believe that it was a demon pretending to be Samuel. I believe it was actually Samuel. The Lord allowed that to take place, and again, I don't understand all of that. But Samuel basically says, you're going to die tomorrow on the battlefield, you and your sons, and that's it. And David is going to be king. And Saul is, I think, safe to say, Saul is cut to the heart. And verse 20 says, immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and filled with fear. Again, filled with fear and not repentance. It's like, filled with fear, thinking of self, but anyways, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, look, your maidservant has obeyed you. I took my life into my hands, and I did what you told me to do. Now please listen to your servant. Let me give you some food so you may eat and have strength to go on your way. He refused, saying, I will not eat. But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them, and he got up from the ground and sat on the couch. And the woman had a fattened calf at the house, and she butchered it at once. She took some flour and kneaded and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. And that same night they got up and left. I think that story is just the summary of Saul's mentality and Saul's life. He had good first notions sometimes. So he's at the end of his life. Samuel said, you're going to be with me tomorrow. You're going to die on the battlefield, right? And Saul's first notion is, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek the Lord. I know I'm hungry right now, but I am in desperate need. And the woman comes and says, but I got some food for you. Why don't you eat? Well, okay. Let's throw a party. Let's kill the fattened calf. He should have remained on his knees and sought God. And maybe he still would have died the next day, but sought God and repented. Took stock and of his whole life and repented. And maybe offer blessing for David. Lord, I bless him. He'll be a better king than me. I don't know. But he was so easily convinced to turn away from what would have been right, fasting and repentance. Do you understand? We can have good intentions, and we can have really good words come out of our mouth. We can say, amen, right? And yet we need to walk it out. We need to walk it out. We need to live it out more and more and more. We need to be faithful. And as we are faithful, he will give us more. I love your sharing, Lil, because it's like, I know I'm called to pray healing over people. I believe I have a gift of healing. And I'm just going to keep praying for healing no matter what. No matter what, you're sick, I'm going to pray healing for you. You're hurting, I'm going to pray healing for you. And you just keep praying it and praying it and praying it and praying it. Well, aren't you going to get discouraged? Maybe you should stop. Maybe you should just sit back a little bit and take it easy for a while. Maybe just sitting back and having a party would be easier, you know, and not putting yourself in those awkward situations. It's like, no, I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray. We're going to go to Old Town, and we're going to keep praying for that town, and we're going to keep asking God to show us people that need to hear. We're going to keep asking that God would fill us with evangelism. We're going to keep trying to be faithful in it, right? Instead of, well, that was a good idea. Now, the Lord might one day say, okay, that's what I had you do, and that's different. God has seasons for us, but make sure it's God, right? But it's this place of, okay, I'm gonna walk this out. I'm gonna live this out. I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna be faithful. I'm not gonna be the son who says, yes, Dad, and then not walk it out. I'm gonna give where I'm called to give. I'm going to love those I'm called to love. When God starts talking to me about my marriage, I'm going to try and walk that out. Lord, with your strength, I'm going to walk that out. When God starts talking to me about my neighbors, I'm going to walk that out. I don't know how. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what it's going to look like all the time, but I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to walk out hospitality, even though I feel a little uncomfortable with it at times, right? Even though I like my privacy, I'm going to walk that out because that's what I hear God saying. I'm going to pick up that instrument. Oh, it might sound horrible at first. And any one of you who maybe your instrument is the saxophone, God bless you. You're going to sound awful at first, metaphorically speaking. If it's actual, you're going to sound awful at first. Literally. I don't know anyone who has picked up the saxophone and sounded great the first day. Some instruments are harder than others. Some callings are harder than others. Some things that the Lord asks us to do and that we say yes to are harder than others. It's this place of okay. And that's why I think of in the book of Luke, Jesus talks about how, you know, when an army is far off, you consider whether you have enough to attack that army. And basically it's this place of consider what you say yes to. Consider what you're doing. God gives us many choices, right? Don't answer quickly. Evaluate. Take it all in. But then once you say yes, then go for it. Walk it out. Walk it out. I think God has so much for us. See, one of the things that the Lord has been speaking to me about lately, about my instrument, is, and maybe it's not just the instrument, maybe it's back to that metaphor that used a while ago. I feel like the coach. I feel like the conductor. Right? And a one. And you know, there's a time I was in bands when I was younger, and I think about the one conductor, you know, Conductor Lee. And we sounded pretty good at times, but then at other times, I don't think we sounded too good. But with young people trying their best, you know, it's just, yep, keep going, and yep, all right, ooh, yeah, uh-huh. And you just keep going, and because we are where we are, right? And you just, okay, I recognize that. But then as the band gets older and more mature and they're practicing and you start, are you practicing? Are you practicing? Are you practicing? Good, good. You're practicing that solo? Good, excellent. Well done. Okay. But then at times, as we got older and further along in the season, you know, he'd be conducting and then just, okay, no, stop. And, you know, first violin, I think you need to tune your violin a little bit better. Trumpet section, you're a little loud, you need to quiet down. You know, I was in the percussion section, stop dancing in the back. We would do that because we had the freedom to do that, but that other people would turn around and watch us, and I don't think the conductor liked that very much, Conductor Lee. But I feel that calling of, I think I shared a few weeks ago, of more and more this place of, okay, you need to work on this a little bit. Luke, you need to, you know, you need to tune that guitar a little bit better. Or Andrew, you know, you got to follow the beat a little bit better, you know, or whatever it is, and to speak up a little bit more. And that's why even this morning with the tongue, I don't want something like that to take away from God moving among us. But I also want us to recognize, okay, we're not quite getting it. We're not quite getting it. We're trying, and we're wanting to listen. But okay, Lord, fine-tune us a little bit more. And with regards to something like that, it's really great because it's not something we can just try harder, you know, try to interpret better. No, it's not about that. It's like it's a supernatural thing, so you can't try. But it's this place of, oh, Lord, may my heart be prepared. Because how we live out one part of our life affects the other part of our lives, like Forrest was saying. And so, Lord, I want to become more in tune with you. I want to hear more. Maybe start asking the people around you, in the homes, you know, start with the homes. I do this to Carlene, by the way, all the time. Hun, do you think I was right there? Like, when I shared this, was that on or was that off? Was that good? Was that not good? And sometimes she'll be like, it was not good. You know, and it's like, okay, I got to. Because sometimes I'm a little bit tone deaf. Yep.
That I felt like maybe I was supposed to give a tongue, but right. I held back. And later on I was like, oh, Lair, I should have gone to you or to to Randy. Anyway, but, like, even today, I just want to put it out there. Like, sometimes I'm not sure. Today, I actually felt fairly sure that I was supposed to give it. But even there, like, I think maybe it would be good for me to like, look to you or to Larry or Josh or whatever and just be like, I think I have a tongue, but I'm not 100% sure. You know, but I don't want to walk in that second guessing.
Right.
But, oh, it's really difficult. So I just want to put that out there. It's really difficult, and it's okay. Oh, it'll be hard, but, yeah, it's okay if, like, you would say, no, I don't think it's quite right. I actually am getting a little sense, like, after, like, oh, Lord, maybe it was for not right then. Maybe it was for a little bit later. So I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know either.
I'm just sharing my heart, and I get that. I get it. But
yeah.
I think we as sheep, like, help us to be able to accept what you're, or whoever, that correction or whatever, their discernment. Help us to accept it.
Right, and it goes both ways too. Like I say, I ask Carlene quite often, or I'll ask like Larry and Josh occasionally, like, "What do you think about this or that?" And it's this place of, okay, let's speak into our lives, let's speak into each other's life. With regards to the tongue, for instance, if we're going to do a little discernment here, I didn't have one way or the other, and sometimes it is that place. Sometimes it is that place. I can't say yes. I can't say no. I'm not sure. And because I'm not as, one of my prayers I shared on Tuesday night, one of my prayers over the last 2-3 weeks has been, Lord, I need to discern better. I need discernment. Oh, I need discernment. And I was just reading about Solomon asking God, and I always thought he asked for wisdom. That's part of it, but he asks for a discerning heart. He goes, I want a discerning heart. And I need that. And so it's this place of, yeah, I'm not sure. What I do know, so I'm not sure if it was, I don't know if it was for that time or not. I think so. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not discerning that. I just have neither here nor there. But what I do know is that there was a disjointedness. And all I'm saying is, let's recognize it. I want to help us. I want us to recognize things. And then all be committed. Okay, I want to grow in discernment. I want to grow in, you know, and this isn't just about discernment. It's about all the gifts in that as well.
I'm just wondering if God had spoken to me and I hadn't shared this morning and then I started to hear the other interpretations of the tongue, and I'm like, no, I'm off, right? So
right.
I just didn't say what I thought I was hearing.
Yeah.
But right from the shoes, we all felt it, right?
Yeah, the shoes is powerful.
I think that he just wants to love us.
Yeah.
And it's coming through me because this is what he's teaching me right now. This is my season. The king, if you can picture a Fred Flintstone cartoon, and he takes off, there's the sound of the bullet when he takes off, right? You know how it, and everything just drops or whatever. The king's robe and crown and shoes have fallen. And he dashes to us. Mm. And it's his best day ever. You know, you can tell someone, that was your best day. He says it of himself. That was my best day. You know, like when you have a good day, he says, that was my best day when I get to come to you. Oh. And I'm not sure if that's the interpretation of the tongue. So.
Right.
But I had to say it.
Had to share it.
I have to practice.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Actually, along similar lines, except it wasn't during the tongue that I got this picture, but during the worship, I just had a picture of like myself as a little boy, you know, and I was just running around Jesus, just like having the time of my life, and he was playing with me, and then I would jump up into his arms, and he would just have this, you know, giant laughing face, and we would both be laughing and smiling, and we were just playing, and that's something that God has been really teaching me, is he's just the past few days is just how much he just wants to spend time and love and just like be with me and be with us and love us. And then I had another picture or vision, I guess, of God dancing with his bride, of Jesus. And it was interesting, like the bride had like this giant birthmark on her face, and like to some it would be like some might think, oh, stained or whatever, but she was the most beautiful, you know, and you could see it in his eyes, and he, as they were dancing, it was the most beautiful thing you could ever see. But it wasn't necessarily because of like the way it looked or anything, but it was just because of the love that was there, and just like you could see there was no greater love.
Yep.
Than the love he had for his bride. It's crazy.
Do you want to say something first?
Nope. Nope, go for it.
It was funny because when Lil was playing the keyboard at one point, I saw like Jesus small, like going along her fingers with her.
That's good. So then I guess to kind of summarize all of this, yeah, because it's not about the tongue, and it's not about, like, I appreciate that different people are getting different things that the Lord is ministering to you, and that's the key to walking in that more, the key to walking in that together is being faithful in what he has shown you. Be faithful with what he is asking you to do. Think about what he's asking you to do. Take it seriously. Don't just say the Sunday school answer, well, yes, Jesus, because I know I'm supposed to say yes to you. So yes, Jesus, you know, and no, take it seriously and then walk it out. Because as we walk it out, as we are faithful with what we say, okay, then we will be given more. Okay, so I'm going to give some examples. Because I want to be very real, practical. Please don't think that, oh, he's picking on me here. It's funny. In some ways, I don't want anyone to be pulpit bait. Do you understand that? Like, I don't want to pick on anyone. And yet, I don't want to just talk in theory. I want to talk about us. So if I, like, sometimes when I say something, I do think about individuals who are here right now, and just like I share about my own life, okay? And so it's not picking on, it's this place of I want us to be better. I want us to grow. Praise God for what he has done. I want us to grow. And so if the Lord has called you to be here, you need to be here. Need to be here. So if the Lord has called, you know, then you need to do it. If the Lord has called you to talk to someone at work, you need to talk to that person at work. You need to put feet to it. You need to share. You need to take that step. Now, God has timing. I'm not saying then that you automatically tomorrow morning, you know, 8 a.m., you know, you corner someone. No, God has a timing in it, but it's that willingness and that purposeful, I'm going to walk this out. And not just someday, I'm going to keep on pressing into God until he shows me when and where. I think of, I'm going to look down for this one, I think of baptism. Just and walking it out. Walking it out, because that's what the Lord has said, to walk it out. And clearly, you know, those clear instructions. I think of, you know, giving. Where you're called to give, you give. You just walk it out. Walk it out. Think of what we spend our time on. And if God has convicted you about things, I love it because you guys shared before where you went through your movies again and just felt the Lord saying, you know, just as you were walking through it, just, okay, get rid of this one, get rid of this one, get rid of this one. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. Thankfully, you didn't do that. And it's like, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, Lord, we want to be faithful with that. And then 6 months later, those movies are still on the counter, you know, are still in the shelf. It's like, no. And by the way, that's their conviction. God has to walk you through your convictions. But when he does bring that conviction, you walk it out. You walk it out. And there's many other examples, but it's just this place of be faithful in what he has given you. Be faithful. Be faithful to practice. Be faithful to walk it out. And we will become more and more who we're called to be. Yep.
Yeah, so I just, in light of all this, I was just kind of praying about it during worship and that, because the picture and the just came back from this week on Thursday. And just, it fits in so much about what we're talking about this morning. And it was really cool as we were walking throughout the town, some of us in praying, and he hasn't done this before, but like led us to the soccer fields and just to pray, just training over us, and that we would just be, the church would just be trained in what Christ has for us and what God's calling us to. And it was really cool. And it was just such a clear picture of, We have to make that choice to want to choose to grow and to push ourselves in the things that God's calling us to. And yeah, it was just it was an encouragement. It was very much just, I feel like he wanted me to just share that with you guys, because it's really neat, and I can honestly say in my heart, and I can say for the rest of the elders here, like, there's such a strong desire to see you guys grow, and to that holy fire to just burn inside of you, and you guys just ignite. And I know in my own life, a lot of the times I'm praying for you guys with that you would surpass anything in leadership.
Totally.
And so just to encourage you guys with that. And Lil, you asked about the discernment of sharing, and as you were asking it, it just really was this place of, like, this morning he was allowing you to exercise your instrument. And so even if it was disjointed, it was just that place of allowing you to test it out here in a safe place. And yeah, so just to encourage you in that.
Yeah, and I would say too, for that last, for me at least, the tongue wasn't disjointed. There wasn't a connection in the interpretation. And I just always, like, I hope no one takes offense at me saying stuff like that, because I always see, we only see through our own lens, right? Like, it's, I try and project what other people might be feeling and thinking, but Randy's sharing. I know that for myself, I don't mind that. I've shared the story about Randy saying to me, there was something demonic in that. And I'm like, oh, really? Do tell. Like, I wasn't offended at all. I was curious and wanting to learn. And so I just assume everyone takes that posture, but I know that doesn't always happen. And it's that place of, yeah, like, I just, it's interesting. It's not as together. But again, I do agree. It's just us learning more. It's just us having opportunity to exercise. And sometimes that, when I was in Niagara Youth Orchestra, we sounded great one Saturday during practice, and then we would sound awful the next. And I'm not saying we sound awful here, but I'm just saying it's that place of, we're growing. And I think, to carry that orchestra analogy on, I think God wants to grow his church in Niagara into the Niagara Philharmonic, if you will. And so, again, I know I've shared this before. Don't take this as, oh, discouragement. No, I think God is graduating us up. I remember the first time I went from a small band that met in a school in St. Catharines, off Niagara Street somewhere there. That's where I first met you. I can't remember that time, but you remember it. When we were in grade 6. And I remember when then I was asked to join the band one level up, and I walked into the room of what's now Southridge, that school there, and the band was 4 times bigger than what I was used to, and the kids were all older, like a year or two older than me and everything. I ran out crying because it scared me so much. I seriously ran out crying. Not a great first impression, I'm sure. I think, but the people who had asked me to join that were saying, we want to challenge you further. We think you can do better, and we're wanting to challenge you in that. That's what I think God is doing to us in right now. He's like, you guys sound great. You can sound better. You guys sound better than you've ever sounded before. You guys sound awesome. I want to graduate you. You guys can sound better. You guys, you know.
So when we were worshiping and Candace had encouraged us to just be free in worship, the thing that came to me, and I didn't do it, and I really believe that actually hindered stuff, I got this picture that I was supposed to take my shoes off and throw them in the air. And I'm like, oh, well. Anyway. I said, no, sorry, Lord, because really I think it so ties into that. I think it would have opened stuff up. So forgive me. And I want to be faithful in what God shows me. Yeah.
That's good. Don't throw them at anyone. Yeah. Okay, good. That's good. Are there any questions or comments about, like, or questions, I guess? Like, is what I'm sharing make sense? And I want to make sure that no one walks out of here discouraged, as in, oh, I feel like, oh, darn, I'm not doing well enough. Because that's totally not the heart of it. Is anyone... What do you think, Car? How are things going there?
Pretty good.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah?
Yeah, so... For me, and maybe this is just something that applies to me, sometimes I find that I can get so caught up in what is God saying to me specifically, and where am I supposed to go, and what am I supposed to, who am I supposed to speak, blah, 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 blah. And yet, it's like there's that place of, but there's so much that I actually know from reading God's word. It's like, this is how I'm supposed to live my life. Yep. And am I walking out those things?
Yep.
And there's a lot of those things that I'm just like, I don't really want to do that. Well, like, that one's hard. That one's whatever.
Right.
And so I can get into that place of it's all so nebulous and it's all just like, and it's like, no, it's actually, I just am so thankful that God gave us his word. And it's very, some things, most things are very, very clear.
Yep.
And I think even on the backs of doing those things, the other stuff comes.
Totally.
So, yeah, for me, it's not quite as... There's some stuff that is a mystery, and there are some things that are not.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we make them into a mystery, but they're actually not. It's like, no, this is what you know.
Right.
Go do what you know, and go do what I've told you specifically.
Yeah.
And the other stuff will come.
Yeah.
So, that's just me.
I don't think it's just for you. Concentrate on what you know, what not on what you don't know. There's a lot that we don't know. Concentrate on what you know, and there's a lot in the word that we do know. Okay? That's the key. And as much as, yeah, always be willing for God to say, turn right now, turn left, go straight, talk to that person, now say this. We're always open to that. But far more important is, how do you treat your husband? How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your children? How do you treat your neighbor? Are you being a good employee? Are you walking out those things? You know, as much as, like, I think that, yeah, throw, if the Lord says throw your shoes up in the air, go for it. But you know what's far more important? How you treat Larry. How you love on him. How you respect him as your husband. You know? And so it's not that the one isn't important. It's just that the other is far more important. And there are a lot of things that we do know and walk those out. I totally think that's for everyone. And again, and sometimes it's not go do this, do this. It's sometimes rest, breathe, stop worrying, trust me. And we need to just walk that out. As I've talked to many people who are trying to figure things out, and I feel like the Lord is just saying, just praise me. Yeah, but no. Just walk out praise. Walk out peace. And so it's all those things, yeah. It's actually, sometimes I'm afraid I sometimes make it complicated because I talk a lot, but it's actually quite simple. Yeah. Be faithful with what you know. Anyone else? All right, let me pray for us then. Lord, I thank you for, first of all, your love for us, that you have adopted us into your family, that you call us sons and daughters. Thank you. Thank you for the gifts you give us, the instruments. Thank you for giving us to each other. And Lord, we want to walk out our lives in such faithful ways. We want to walk it out faithfully. And Lord, Judy's right. We know so much already. Yeah, there's some things that are puzzling to us and mysterious. But there's so many things that are so abundantly clear. Just in my head right now, I'm just hearing, yeah, but scales aren't fun. But they're essential. Yeah, sometimes we want to concentrate on the cool little word, the lick on the guitar, but yeah, the scales, the foundation, all that's very important. So Lord, we want to follow you faithfully. We want to be children who say, yes, Lord, and then walk it out. Actually do it. I want to be that kind of child, Lord. We bless your name together. You are worthy, and we love you. And we receive your love. Thank you for your love. In your name, amen.